This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Greatest witch hunt in American history. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, May 19th, thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump offers his first remarks since a special counsel was named to investigate alleged Russian election interference.
The president says the leading contender to be FBI boss is former Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. Here are the other candidates he met with yesterday.
A young woman was killed and more than 20 others were injured after a car ran down pedestrians in New York's Times Square. It was not considered a terrorist incident.
And returning to TV on Sunday, Twin Peaks on Showtime.
It's one of the latest in a long line of old and revered TV shows that are getting a revival. This one after 26 years off the air. And this one is special and maybe riskier than a lot of others because it has been so long since it was on the air.
Wall Street Journal reporter John Jurgensen on what's behind the return of Twin Peaks. He's here in about 20 minutes. In his first remarks, since media reports that he urged former FBI Director James Comey to back off an investigation into Mike Flynn, President Trump described an investigation of his campaign's possible ties to Russia as a witch hunt. He spoke during a news conference with the visiting president of Colombia.
I think it's totally ridiculous. Everybody thinks so. And again, we have to get back to working our country properly so that we can take care of the problems that we have.
Separately, the Wall Street Journal says a grand jury subpoena was issued to a business associate of Mr. Flynn, the former national security advisor. It was sent out in April, nearly a month before Mr. Trump fired Mr. Comey, raising questions about whether the president learned the investigation into Mr. Flynn was escalating before firing Mr. Comey, who was overseeing the probe. In a series of tweets yesterday morning, the president called the investigations the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history. The leading candidate to be the new FBI director is Joe Lieberman, the former Democratic senator from Connecticut. Mr. Lieberman, who's 75, met with President Trump at the White House yesterday. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Trump says his leading contender is Mr. Lieberman, who represented Connecticut from 1989 to 2013, first as a Democrat, then as an independent. He ran as a vice presidential candidate on the Democratic ticket with Al Gore in 2000. He then became an independent after losing the 2006 presidential primary. His law enforcement experience comes from two terms as Connecticut's attorney general in the mid-80s. Also meeting with Mr. Trump yesterday for the FBI job, Acting Director Andrew McCabe and former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 9 minutes now after the hour. Working in President Trump's White House is about to get a whole lot harder with a special counsel now in place to probe alleged election meddling by the Russians. Darren Samuelson, White House reporter for Politico, spoke with veterans of past probes about the vibe at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Darren, what have you been told?
You can perjure yourself pretty simply when you're talking to a prosecutor who's got a badge, you know, on their shoulder or on their collar. So it's a very complicated thing. It definitely shakes up the life of a White House, and this White House that we have now, Donald Trump's White House, had better strap in because this is where things are headed.
All right. So what typically happens? Like, do you get tapped on the shoulder at your cubicle and say, "I need you to step into this office"? There's six of us here who want to question you or something.
Maybe not quite that simply, but it goes down that line. You would get a summons, a subpoena to appear before a grand jury. So at some point down the line, once Robert Mueller is formed a little bit more of the inquiry process and he's starting to do his fact-finding missions, he will indeed be asking people, whether they be people from Donald Trump's campaign who are not in the White House, or people in the White House who have come from the campaign, or even now in the time since, people who have been working with Donald Trump or Michael Flynn closely, and they can be asked to recreate situations. They can be asked to produce documents through subpoenas, asking them to turn over a lot of material that the prosecutors' counsels will be combing through looking to try and recreate what happened and all, you know, all the major questions, the who, what, why, where, when, and how. And so, yeah, in that process, if you're working in the White House, again, or if you came from the campaign, you are going to be asked to fess up on what you know.
When the scope is that unlimited, it seems like that could be a real mood changer, too.
Yeah, it absolutely can. And, I mean, in some respects, if you get tapped to come talk to a special counsel, you know, you are almost in some respects seen, you know, as someone who's, you know, working, I would say cooperating with the other side, but it does put a cloud over the individual. You know, you don't necessarily publicly announce that you're going before a grand jury. It is not something that does happen out in the open. So, you know, it can create a lot of whispering behind backs. This is what people who have experienced this before know have seen. It just makes for really awkward interactions between colleagues. And again, remember, the Trump White House is one that wasn't exactly known for very good interpersonal relationships in the first place. So you toss this into the mix on top of that, it can make things very difficult, again, for just trying to do everything from communicating to trying to pass big pieces of legislation and everything in between.
We're speaking with Darren Samuelson, senior White House reporter at Politico, about his piece entitled Special Counsel to Complicate West Wing Life. And he spoke to veterans of these investigations. So it's not like somebody's just talking to you informally, trying to gauge your reaction here. It's likely you're going to need a lawyer or as you said, appear before a grand jury.
Correct. I mean, you don't necessarily, you definitely should have a lawyer with you. I had a story about 3 days ago on exactly that topic, that it is time for, it's probably time soon for these White House staffers who do get tapped to be talking to their own personal counsel. The White House counsel, which, you know, there is a team of lawyers inside the White House, they're really not the people that they should be talking to for, you know, this kind of investigation. There's a conflict of interest between what the White House's responsibilities are, protecting the executive office of the president, versus these individuals who are, you know, ultimately going to be called in for a criminal law enforcement proceeding, you know, where their jobs, their reputations, their professional status is on the line. You know, just think back to sort of some of the past scandals involving other presidents. You know, people who end up getting wrapped up in it. You think of a Scooter Libby, for example. You think of some of the people during the Clinton years, a Webb Hubble. Not directly related to the investigation that started, but these people have gotten into very serious trouble. You know, losing their bars, losing their jobs, you know, lots and lots of legal bills that pile up because they make mistakes and they stumble either to protect their boss or they perjure themselves. And so, yes, you should have a lawyer present. And then so right now, you know, the white-collar lawyers of Washington are, I'm sure, circling and holding up their shingles, letting people know that they're available.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Samuelson, White House reporter for Politico. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Ready for hundreds of millions of potential new customers? Come to a two-day conference in Detroit in June to hear about Alibaba, the Chinese version of what's described as Amazon plus Google. Today, China represents an unprecedented opportunity for American business owners and entrepreneurs. Alibaba, an e-commerce platform, can connect you with 500 million consumers. You can buy and sell anything. Learn more about the worldwide marketplace of Alibaba at Gateway 17, June 20th to the 22nd. Meet experts, make relationships, and learn from companies already in China. You'll also hear Jack Ma, the ultimate entrepreneur and China expert. Gateway 17 has limited availability, but our listeners can save 50% off the registration fee by going to gateway17.com and using the code DEAL when you register. That's gateway17.com, GATEWAY17.com, and enter DEAL. 50% off the registration fee, but only if you use DEAL when you sign up at gateway17.com. Thanks for being with us and welcome into a Friday. Terrifying moments in New York City when a car plowed down a crowded sidewalk in Times Square, killing an 18-year-old woman and injuring 22 others. It happened in the middle of the day yesterday. The driver, a New York City man who served in the Navy, was arrested after the car he was driving crashed into a stanchion. NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill said police were not treating it as terrorism.
The driver, a 26-year-old male, identified as Richard Rojas, a resident of the Bronx, was taken into custody at the scene. Preliminary investigation reveals that Rojas has a few arrests, and two of them are for DWI.
Mr. Rojas tested negative for alcohol yesterday, but drug tests are pending. Mr. Rojas's car mounted the sidewalk and drove for 3.5 blocks, striking the 23 people.
It was really fast. It was like a bowling. Hitting people. It was incredible.
Killed during the rampage was Alyssa Elsman of Michigan, who was vacationing with her family. Her 13-year-old sister was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The New York Post says Mr. Rojas was bent on committing murder and wanted cops to kill him. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Current President Trump says the appointment of a special counsel to oversee the investigation of Russia's interference in the election hurts our country terribly.
I think it divides the country. I think we have a very divided country because of that and many other things.
The Justice Department announced Wednesday that former FBI Director Robert Mueller has been given sweeping power to investigate Russian interference in the campaign, including potential links between Moscow and Trump campaign associates. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein told senators that he knew FBI Director James Comey was going to be fired even before he wrote a memo that provided a basis for Comey's dismissal. That's according to Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill, who addressed reporters after a closed-door meeting where Rosenstein briefed senators.
He was very careful about not going into any details surrounding the removal because he wants to give Robert Mueller the opportunity to make his independent decision.
Today, Rosenstein will hold a closed-door meeting with members of the House. The driver of the car that careened through New York City's Times Square yesterday was a Navy veteran who had been arrested at least four times before for offenses including drunk driving and threatening someone with a knife. 26-year-old Richard Rojas plowed into people on the sidewalk and sped three blocks through one of the city's busiest areas, killing one pedestrian and injuring two dozen others before crashing into a metal stanchion. This man saw the fallout.
People on the sidewalk all the way from 42nd to 45th. Most of them had blood coming from the head, a few scrapes and bruises, but most of the people were unconscious.
Friends say Rojas returned from his Navy service with a drinking problem and had posted crazy stuff on social media. Well, when you think of divorce, you probably think about bickering, bitterness, and custody fights. But there's a new trend sweeping across social media, the divorce selfie. It went seriously viral after a woman from Canada shared a happy photo with her ex in front of the courthouse where they signed their divorce papers. Now, under hashtag divorce selfies, you can see all kinds of happy just divorced couples who are taking their first photo together as exes. Some even include a new significant other.
What? That would be my response on social media. Like, kids write at WUT. What? Like, you just have no, what, for what reason?
A lot of happy faces on there.
Happy,
check it out.
Happy it's over, or just happy that they're trying to show everybody that things are amicable and, you know, they'll
all
raise
the
kids
above.
And, yeah.
All of the above. Very happy people there.
22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. What's old is new again on TV. Twin Peaks is back this Sunday with a limited engagement on Showtime. The show, considered a precursor to novelistic television like The Sopranos and Lost, helped embolden a generation of writers, directors, and producers to push beyond TV norms when it was on the air in the early 90s. But Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter John Juergensen says a tough proving ground lies ahead. John, what do we have?
It's one of the latest in a long line of old and revered TV shows that are getting a revival, this one after 26 years off the air. So, you know, every time you turn around, there's one of these old shows that's being brought back in a new form. And this one is special and maybe riskier than a lot of others because, A, it has been so long since it was on the air. It was on the air in the early 90s for two seasons. And B, it was sort of like this big symbol of the what became prestige TV. You know, it was made by David Lynch and Mark Frost, David Lynch being, you know, a well-known filmmaker and one of the rare filmmakers at the time to get into television. And he made this very strange, very eerie, very influential TV show that was short-lived and now is being brought back.
Did you say just two seasons?
Right. Its influence and the amount of time people spend talking about it is very disproportionate to the amount of time it was on the air.
Wow.
And the second season was low rated and very uneven, wildly uneven, I would say, and is almost kind of dispensable. Many episodes of it are kind of dispensable. So it was really sort of the first season and its impact and phenomenon that put it on the map. Plus, it was just so radically different than anything that was on broadcast television at the time.
All right, so what's going on here then? Why, for a show that had maybe a decent one season now, as you're saying, 26 years later, it's coming back for what?
Victory lap, Maybe they also feel that they didn't get a chance to do it correctly at the time. And also just people won't stop talking about it. You know, it's cited in, you know, any kind of history story about the golden age of television, or auteur television, as some call it. It's often cited as the first, you know, in that long line. And it really came, you know, it came before the internet. It came before any of the other sort of support structures of that kind of TV, novelistic TV. And I think the creators of the show knew that they had an audience that was built in and a demand that was built in, and maybe felt like they had more to say about this world they had created. Watson sort of had to leave behind.
Well, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter John Juergensen. His piece is called "The Uphill Battle Facing Twin Peaks." How long is the leash for a show like this, or a comeback attempt?
Well, they're calling it a limited series, so that means that they've given it this 18 episodes, which again is a big order, and I think it's an expensive show for Showtime.
Okay.
So it's got a pretty big order, but the idea being that I think they're probably doing it as a one-off, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, limited series have a tendency to turn into renewed series if the reception is good. But I think that they're approaching it as a one-off event. A pretty big one, though. You know, it's no miniseries, that's for sure.
Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter John Juergensen. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Friday, May 19, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: deadly sidewalk rampage in New York City not considered terror. Trump calls the Russia probe a witch hunt, while Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein says she's seen no evidence of collusion. Former Senator Joe Lieberman, the top choice to lead the FBI. Sweden drops a rape investigation into WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. A paleontologist, how about this, says the jaws of the T-Rex were so strong they could explode the bones of other dinosaurs with their 8,000 pounds of biting force. And what a minor league baseball team has named its pig mascot. That story in 20 minutes. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is saying thank you with up to 40% off business PCs with Intel Core processors. Call a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. With his administration trying to get its to-do list back on track and tax cut or health care legislation months, if not years, away, there might be something President Trump can do sooner rather than later to help his economic agenda. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says maybe Mr. Trump should think smaller, as in helping small businesses. Rick set this up.
Focus on small business. Every politician loves small business. It's got bipartisan support in Congress. And the idea here, and this comes from reporting with some people who have been in the small business community in Washington and the Small Business Administration. What's wrong with a small piece of legislation that might give small businesses a little bit of a tax cut, maybe some relief from the regulations community banks have to abide by, which are largely viewed as too onerous because they're really intended for big banks, not small community banks, and do a few other things just to say, look, we want to help small businesses. We got big plans for this other legislation, big tax reform and stuff like that, but that's going to take a long time. So in the meanwhile, we're going to try to give just a little bit of an assist to Main Street companies.
All right. It sounds good. I guess the question is there room on the legislative schedule for this or the time to do it? It seems like with all these vacation days members of Congress have, there's just not a lot of time because they got to, you know, do the big stuff.
Yeah, and so you're right. And this is, and nobody has proposed this, by the way. So it's not a priority anywhere. Trump hasn't proposed it. No. There's nobody in Congress. You know, we all know what the priorities in Congress are. They've got this
re-election.
Of course. By the way, which is why a lot of this stuff is going to grind to a halt in 2018, because that's when everybody's running for re-election, and nobody will do anything remotely controversial when that happens. So. Yeah, right. But so is this, you know, I'm having fun with this. Is this something that's likely to happen? No. But it's, you know, it's a way of saying, look, everything doesn't have to get bogged down in these, you know, giant pieces of legislation that are going to disrupt major parts of the economy. That is sort of the Trump approach, you know, go big or go home. But he might end up going home. And in the meanwhile, there are some smaller things he could do that would have a real impact. And, you know, by the way, would be politically popular.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman about his piece entitled A Jobs Bill Trump Might Actually Pass. When we talk about small business people, it's I think, you know, it's fairly easy to get them excited. I mean, these are among the most optimistic people in America. I mean, they're self-believers and all that. It wouldn't take much, I think, to get them excited about doing other things.
Yeah, and small businesses are pretty excited right now. They would arguably benefit, more than most from tax cuts in particular, and also from deregulation. Because, I mean, you talk to small business owners, and they grapple with overlapping layers of regulation. They have federal rules, and then they have state and local rules on top of that. Trump could really tackle this. There are ways that he could. You know, he can't do anything to repeal state and local regulations, but he could form, you know, or a task force or something meant to identify the most duplicative rules and maybe repeal the federal ones where they are basically doing the same things as state and local. Now, he has talked a lot about this, but it's just, you know, when it's not, you can't just propose everything and then get everything done. This is a matter of making it a priority and twisting arms on Capitol Hill. And it's not something he's doing, but it's something he could probably do more effectively than, forcing them to vote on this Obamacare repeal bill, which does not even have public support. So, it's kind of a discussion of what should be the best presidential priorities.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman from New York. It's 21 minutes, rather, in front of the hour on This Morning. America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. And if you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online the past few days. We're joined by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith, who's with us live this morning. Charlotte, let's begin with Donald Trump.
Good morning, Gordon. And yes, unsurprisingly, lots of people searching for Donald Trump after a week of breaking news out of Washington. We also saw searches for stock markets, special prosecutors. But what's interesting is search interest in late night shows has actually increased by 65% compared to last month. And SNL actually hit a 7-year ratings high last Saturday with the return of Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer.
How about that? Boy, I feel like making news ever since my colleague Mike Gavin talked about it on Tuesday has been this romper for men.
Yes, otherwise known as the romp hymn. And now summer fashions always are a hot topic on Google, but lots of people logging on this week to defend or poke fun of the romp hymn. And search interest in romper actually surpassed that for any other clothing type. But take heart, Sean Connery actually wore a male romper in 1964's Goldfinger.
Yeah, 1964.
Coming back.
It is not coming back. Stop that. How about the Dutch king as this airline co-pilot?
Yes, he revealed this week that he's been moonlighting as a commercial pilot for over 2 decades. Really interesting. He's been walking around airports in uniform, but he's rarely identified as the king. He even makes announcements during flights, but he says most people don't listen to this.
What happened, by the way, at the U2 concert at Levi's Stadium in San Francisco?
Yeah, it's totally a disaster. Surprisingly, lots of people buying tickets for this tour, even though it's for an album that came out in 1987.
One of the greatest albums of all times, by the way. Definitely a top three in my book. Right up there with Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, I would say. Back in Black by AC/DC. Hey, thanks, Charlotte, for a few minutes, as always. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. By the way, on their list of trending topics this week and searches, this video called The Football Challenge with Odell Beckham Jr.
Today, we're here with our boy, Odell.
What's going on, Odell Beckham Jr. here?
Odell plays football on the New York Giants. Odell doesn't let anything get in the way of him making a catch.
None of it. So we're going to see if we can get like
that. These are a couple of young guys. They do these kind of crazy stunts, and I feel like my daughter watches. So one of the stunts always involves live mouse traps. So one of the clips of the video, the kid runs a pass pattern and has to step his way in bare feet through mouse traps, then turn around and catch a pass thrown by Odell Beckham Jr. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
Thanks for being with us. Although 22 people were injured and one person was killed in yesterday's Times Square crash in New York City, if it wasn't for a safety measure installed last year, things could have been a lot worse. USA Today says bollards, those short steel barriers frequently found outside stadiums, shopping malls, government buildings, and other populated areas, are designed to prevent or minimize vehicle disasters. With the New York City subway less than 2 feet underneath the pavement, these were specially designed with a shallow foundation strong enough to withstand a 30-mile-an-hour impact. Installed in a pattern known as redundant defense, the devices can cost anywhere from $600 each to up to $5,000 for an anti-terror model. The ones located in Times Square are specially designed by a company in Southern California called CalPipe Security Bollards. They were installed last fall. Yesterday, they slowed down and then stopped a car going the wrong way up a one-way street that slammed into dozens of pedestrians. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump's maiden international trip, a five-stop marathon across the Middle East and Europe, has long loomed as a crucial first test abroad for the president. That was before he fired his FBI director and the chain reaction that followed. Now, with the eyes of the world upon him, the president will try to calm allies worried about his America First message. He'll also be followed by fallout from his firing of FBI Director James Comey and the appointment of a special counsel to probe his campaign's ties with Russia. The investigation, former FBI Director Robert Mueller will be leading a special counsel, has begun to closely examine the ties between former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn and a Turkish businessman, and whether they played any role in his decisions as the president's advisor. The Wall Street Journal says federal prosecutors are focusing in part on work Flynn undertook for Turkish interests, which he didn't disclose in full until weeks after his resignation from the White House. President Trump next week will propose the U.S. can balance the federal budget over 10 years with substantial cuts to safety net programs such as food stamps and other anti-poverty efforts, combined with a tax and regulatory overhaul that speeds up the nation's economic growth rate. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin.
It has been more than 30 years since we have had comprehensive tax reform in this country. Combined with often imprudent regulations crafted in the midst of the crisis, the entire American prosperity has slowed.
The president's budget will spare the two largest drivers of future spending, Medicare and Social Security, leaving trillions in cuts from other programs. That includes cuts to education, housing, environment programs, and foreign aid already laid out by the administration, in addition to new proposed reductions to non-discretionary spending like food stamps, Medicaid, and federal employee benefit programs. Today is Endangered Species Day, and the National Geographic Society is making sure you take notice today of animals that are on the verge of extinction. Instead of images of celebrities, clothing, and products, billboards in Times Square and many other cities will feature animals that are part of National Geographic's Photo Ark project. The photos feature animals such as tigers, panthers, turtles, and monkeys as they stare directly into the camera.
You can't not contribute to that campaign if you see an animal like that staring into the camera.
I know, some of them are kind of scary. Yeah, the tiger picture is a little scary.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. A minor league baseball team in Minnesota used the name of its ball pig mascot to lampoon the current political landscape. The St. Paul Saints unveiled the name of their newest ball pig, Alternative Fats, during a Facebook live stream that included a video parody of President Trump's counselor Kellyanne Conway in that interview on NBC she did, which she coined the term alternative facts. UPI says the team said it received a record number of entries in its Name the Pig contest, including references to the state of Minnesota or the team's history, as well as gag suggestions such as Piggy McPigface. Sean Aronson, director of media relations, said they also received an overwhelming amount of politically themed names such as Ham Jung-un and Pigamir Putin. Saints in action tonight, by the way, against the Gary South Shore Railcats. Should be noisy. Tonight is Harley Davidson night, sponsored by a local dealer. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.